James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Be fearful of, or concerned about, or struggle with, but to be able to say, whatever comes my way, I'll trust you, is a big declaration. It's a declaration of faith. How about we pray before we open God's word today? Father, as we all sit in this room today, we are going through all very different stages in our lives. There are people who are going through very real struggles at the moment. And to be able to utter those words, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. Father, I pray that that will be their experience even in their times of struggles. For others, this is a great season. And Father, I pray that they will be able to rejoice in those things as well. Father, one of the things that we have to deal with all the time is making decisions. And Father, it's not always easy for us to know what decisions to make. And so we ask that you will give us the wisdom we need to be able to make those decisions. And particularly that's what we focus on as we open James today. Please speak into our hearts, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your bulletins there, we're going to be referring a little bit to this passage that comes from James. And it's an interesting one because as I read James, the beginning of James, I can't help but have a little bit of a smirk on my face. Because as I read that, the first part of what was read for us by Michael, it's kind of like, in some ways, almost stating the obvious. It's like if I had a group of kids here in the room and I happened to say, would any of you kids like an ice cream? You know, you can have whatever flavour you like. I think we would all be horrified if all the kids en masse said, no thanks, Pastor Tim, we don't want ice cream. You know, we're having Brussels sprouts for tea and I don't want to ruin my dinner, you know, because I'd much prefer to have my Brussels sprouts. We would be horrified to think that there would be kids that would say that. They'd say, you know, don't you know that ice cream's no good for you? You know, and I would never want to put anything into this temple of God that is unhealthy for me. So no, I don't want any ice cream. You know, we would be horrified to think that because there is an obvious answer. If I was to say, would you like some ice cream, you can have whatever flavour you like, the answer is, of course we want some. And in some ways, when I look at the beginning of this passage, it's the same sort of thing where James says, is there anyone out there at all who lacks wisdom? Anyone at all? Can I find anyone who lacks wisdom? And it's not like there's going to be a whole group of people saying, well, no, I don't lack wisdom. I've got abundant supply of it. People often asking me ideas and I just pass on my wisdom because I've got so much of it. You know, so I make sure that everyone else knows that I've got lots of wisdom and I've got plenty to spare. So if you want to know something, just ask me and I'll tell you. I'm sure there's some people who are a bit like that. But generally speaking, we would all acknowledge in this particular area, when somebody says, if anyone lacks wisdom, we would all, well, I'd hope that most of us would come to this point and say there are lots of times when we lack wisdom. In fact, we get to the point where we are having to make decisions and we look in our past and we see that our past is strewn with poor decision making. Or we have no idea what advice to give others. People come to us and would say, what am I supposed to do? And in that moment, rather than having words of wisdom, we go, I just don't know what to say. I'm sure we've all been in those situations. And if we're not in that situation, then we will give advice that's not great advice. because we lean very much on our own understanding rather than really relying on God. And when we do that, that's unwise in itself, isn't it? It lacks wisdom. So I think if any of us are even at that point of thinking, you know what, I am a wise person, then that's probably unwise in itself. And so it sort of shows the lack of wisdom we have. So, as James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God about it. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, it will be given to him. As you know, the series that we're looking at, because it's still written on the back wall, is When God Intervenes. And really, in the area of wisdom, that's what has to happen. For us to really be people who are wise people, for us to speak words of wisdom, to know that the answers we're giving others are wise answers, then God has to intervene. Because wisdom is not something that we possess in our own strength. It has to come out of God's intervention in our thoughts and into our decision-making processes. But it is a promise we have, and today we're going to be looking in depth at this promise which is given to us. But there are some conditions associated with it, and we're going to look at some of those conditions. When we look at the letter of James, we see in this first chapter, it's not the only time when James actually refers to wisdom. If we flick over a little bit to chapter 3, we see that James continues to talk about this idea of wisdom. And James talks about two kinds of wisdoms, which is really an oxymoron. I love that word, oxymoron. It's a great word, oxymoron, which is a bit of an oxymoron. I'll explain why it is that. But if let's have a look at James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, and I'd like to read that for us today. So it's headed, two kinds of wisdoms. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. As James talks about two kinds of wisdom, I use the phrase oxymoron because the second type of wisdom isn't wisdom at all. It shows no signs of wisdom whatsoever. In fact, it's very unwise, even foolish. So if it is foolish, can it really be wisdom at all? I'll let you think about that for a little while. Wisdom that is not founded in God comes from a very different source. Often envy, selfish ambition. It is earthly, it is unspiritual, and it's of the devil. Now, I know that seems pretty radical. That even seems a little strong. We would like to think that there's God's wisdom, and then there's our wisdom, which is not a bad wisdom, and then there's that other wisdom. But the truth is, if our wisdom is not based in God, then it is of the earth. It is of this world, and it's not wise at all. The truth is, unless our lives are immersed in God, and we're allowing him to guide us and direct our minds and actions, then we are operating in an earthly and an unspiritual way. Earthly and unspiritual. You know what that is? That's the place where the devil resides. It's a place where the devil resides. There is one man, of course, we have in Scripture who was considered the wisest of all men of all times, and that, of course, was Solomon. He was considered wise because he did exactly what James suggests. Solomon thought that he lacked wisdom, and he asked God, and God gave it generously. In fact, he gave it to Solomon overwhelmingly. And we read of this in 1 Kings chapter 3. This is what we read. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out these duties. Your servant is here among the people as you have chosen a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. The Lord was pleased with Solomon, who asked for this, and he said, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that you will never, there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And from there on, we read some very wise decisions that Solomon made. He was a man who made wonderful decisions. But even though he was considered the wisest man who ever lived, even though he was Solomon, the truth is he was only ever a breath away from making very unwise decisions. He was only ever a breath away from falling into the trap that James talked about of making decisions based on envy or selfish ambition. He was only ever a breath away from operating in a world view rather than a God-centered view. In 1 Kings chapter 11, which is only a few chapters over, we read that wonderful oxymoron again, what other wisdom looks like. And it simply says this in 1 Kings chapter 11. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. And in that, all of a sudden, his wisdom went out the window. When Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart away from God. That's how unwise he was in that moment. The wisest man ever, making unwise decisions, making unwise, worldly, selfish decisions. And those who followed after him had to wear the consequences of his actions. The Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and since you have not kept my covenant and my decrees which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. After that, the kingdom was destroyed because of the actions of an unwise Solomon. Our actions often extend way beyond ourselves. In the passage that we have in the bulletin today, we have a promise. And we know that all God's promises can be relied on and are true and will always be true. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God and he will give it generously. That's true. Absolute truth. But it's not a promise that simply says you just have to ask God once. You simply, you know, make sure that sometime in your life you simply sit down and you say, God, give me wisdom. And God says, here, you have wisdom. And it is yours. And it's yours for all time. Every decision you make past this point will always be a wise decision. God doesn't do that. It doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to make wise decisions. It just means that you are still who you are. And if at any point in time you choose to make a decision that is selfish or based on your own understanding, then it will be an unwise decision. And it's never too far away from us. Solomon showed us it can easily get out of hand. Solomon showed us if we listen to other people's voices rather than listening to God, it will fall apart very quickly. Our own motives, our own heart can override this promise of wisdom which God wants us to possess. I want to say very clearly, Solomon didn't in this moment lose his ability to make a wise decision. He still had that ability. He just chose not to give any thought to it. Because he knew that if he chatted to God about it, if he said to God, you know, should I be loving all of these women? Should I make all these women my wives? He knew what God would say. And so he thought to himself, do I chat to God about this? Or do I kind of make this decision based on my own understanding because I know what I want? And so he decided that he would make that decision all by himself. And we can see that it was a dopey decision, can't we? We can see that very clearly. So the wise became unwise. Yes, we can access wisdom as followers of God. It is available to us as Christians, as believers. Wisdom, real wisdom, is available to us. But it's in the process of asking that we receive it. And that asking is seeking God on a regular basis. That wisdom then becomes a part of our lives. As I said, James speaks about two kinds of wisdoms. So how can we readily tell which wisdom we are operating under? We would like to think that ours would always be God-based, but I wonder whether it passes the test. I think there are three indicators as to which wisdom we are operating on. What are the characteristics of our wisdom? The second is, where did the wisdom come from? And thirdly, what are the fruits or the outworking of our wisdom? By the way, I stole those three out of something else that I was reading. There are three good lists though. What are the characteristics of our wisdom? Where did the wisdom come from? And what is the fruit of, or the outworking of that wisdom? Let's have a look at the first. What are the characteristics of our wisdom? What are the characteristics of worldly wisdom? If it's all about selfishness, if it's about self-gain, or it's all about please talk to me because I'm a wise person, you can be rest assured that it is worldly wisdom. If it's about self-glorification, then you can be pretty sure that it is of the world, and ultimately, therefore, it is devil-based. What about the characteristics of God's wisdom? God's wisdom is pure. It's a lover of peace. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's full of mercy, yet honest. It's truth. So that even those decisions that are tough to make contain God's qualities as well. Secondly, where did the wisdom come from? Did it come from our own understanding? Then we know it's not wise. You know that the devil often uses a very clever trick, and that is this, to make it almost sound like it's really wise, where it's just subtly different, where his cleverest trick is to come close to God's ways with just little subtle changes that makes it more palatable for us. You know, make sure you at least go to church, then you can do whatever you like, is a word that, you know, that the devil often uses. Makes it more palatable, yet we know it's not from God. If it is from God, then it always is revering of God, loving God. And James was right when he said in the old prophets that true wisdom looks to God, worships God, seeks out God, and responds as God leads. And thirdly, what is the outworking of our wisdom? When people are being damaged, or people's lives seem to spiral more out of control, then we know that that's not good advice, don't we? But if the wisdom that we have comes from God, then we know it will be righteousness, and righteousness will show its way through that wisdom. So as we look at all of this, we can look at this as a factual conversation, and it's obvious as we talk about it which is wise and which is unwise. So why is it we don't tap into the wisdom? Because decision making is something we need to do every day, and a lot of decisions we have to make seem straightforward, and they are. And because of our walk with the Lord, we are able to make wise decisions. But we're never too far away from having to make decisions that we don't want to make. We're never too far away from someone talking to us about things that we will struggle to find answers for. We're never too far away from that, are we? It comes around all too often. And it's in those moments we just need to stop, take a moment, and simply ask God. Surely it can't be that easy an answer, can it? But it actually is. Stopping, taking a moment, and immersing ourselves in God, and simply asking Him to reveal to us the answers that we need to give, or the decisions we need to make. God has promised that if any of us lack wisdom, we just need to ask and He will give it abundantly. But we have to let go of what we actually want the outcome to be. We have to be willing to let go of, but this is what we want to see happen. This is what we want to see is how it will work out. We need to be willing to let that go and simply say, Lord, we will just do what you ask us to do in this moment. And then we'll be able to honour God. I think one of the greatest strengths that we can bring to anyone else as they ask us for advice, when they come to us, when people come to us and say, what do you think? What do you think you should do? And our families do that with us all the time. They're asking our advice. To simply stop and say, I will pray about that for you. How about we pray about that together and seek the Lord's leading is the most wise thing we can do. You see, hearing God and responding to God, that's where true wisdom comes from. One of the greatest risks we have in a room like this is there is a lot of maturity in this room. There's been a lot of experiences that we've all had. Some of those things that we've made decisions on the past have worked out really well. And because of our maturity and because of our experiences, it's easy for us to get to the point of thinking we are wise. It's easy for us to get to the point of saying, I know the answer here. In our maturity and in our experiences, it's really important that we step back even more than we would have in the past and simply say, I want to seek God on this. It is in seeking God that we experience wisdom. We are only ever a breath away from being unwise, but we're only a prayer away. Only a prayer away from knowing that we will make wise decisions. Let's pray together. So close. Father, we realize we are so close. We are so close to that moment when we make really unwise decisions. Solomon showed that it can come about so easily, and even to the wisest man ever. So we're so close to that. But Father, we also recognize that we are so close to being able to make wise decisions that honor you. And all we need to do is ask. What an amazing promise that James speaks about. An amazing promise that if any of us lacks wisdom, we only need to ask and you will give it abundantly. Father, we want to claim that promise today and we want to live in the fullness of it. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.